Time Technique. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You don't want to be in traffic. You want to do all that Christmas shopping. Come to Nick's Place. Hang out with us. Hang out with us this afternoon. Lamont said, should CJ sponsor some ads for Kleenex? Come on, Lamont. We're not going to read those kind of tweets. That's mean. That's insensitive. You're not being
empathetic. Sure Lamont was deep in his feels about CJ crying. I'm sure he was crying right there with him. If you're looking for the sympathy, you and Lamont would not be the two guys I go to if I'm looking for the sympathy vote.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay to show emotion. I've been told that's not a strength of mine. I've been told that I could be a little bit more emotional, maybe a little bit more sensitive to others' feelings. So, like, I'm not going to bash a guy for being sensitive. I wish I was a little bit more sensitive from time to time. All right, Rex Ryan says the Texans are the worst division winner in the NFL, and they'll be one and done in the playoffs. Do you agree with that, Blankers?
I feel better about this team after the Chiefs game because I was really expecting the absolute worst. But I don't think he's wrong. I said it a few weeks ago and a few games ago that I felt like this team was going to get into the playoffs. They inevitably were going to win the division. And what I've seen all year about the fact that they've just been so blatantly inconsistent, whether you go the running game to the passing game or the offense to the defense, that that's why we started talking about, like, could they beat this team? Could they beat that team? There's a team or two that are going to make the playoffs in the AFC that I feel like the Texans can beat. But overall, if I had to call it right now, I'd say they're one and done.
I think they could beat anybody in the AFC. So there's probably, what, four options right now? Like, because one of the things we're going to talk about here in a couple minutes is, like, should you rest your starters on Christmas?
Right.
This little span of three games in 11 days. You've had a bunch of injuries, all of that. They probably have four teams they could play, right? Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Denver, and the Chargers.
Chargers, right, yeah.
I would expect the Texans to be a home favorite against three of those four teams.
The one team that makes it very, very evident that I would think they'd be one and done is Baltimore.
Yeah,
I think that if, again, I pointed out how inconsistent they've been, but if they have any level of decent play, I expect them to beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
I would think that, look, the Chargers are kind of like the Texans. The Chargers have the ability to play really, really, really well, and they can also play really poorly. I think that that would be a good game if they're at home. I think they beat the Chargers. I agree with you. Overall, if I had to pick where my money would go on those four games, I think that it would go on Baltimore. Otherwise, I think they could beat the other three.
What would the Texans at home against the Chargers, what would that spread be?
I think it would be less than a field goal. I think it would be 2.5.
Yeah, I was probably around 1.5 to 2.5, somewhere in that range. Same with the Broncos.
I think they'd be favored by three. I think Texans would be favored by three.
Steelers.
2.5.
And then what about the Ravens?
They would be underdogs by 3.5.
They're 5.5 this week, but they're more injured than they would expect to be for the playoffs. What do the Texans have to do to avoid the Ravens in the wild card round? Like, what is the scenario that exists there? I think it would actually be beneficial if the Ravens were to beat them on Christmas to avoid them in the wild card round, because that would boost the Ravens up the AFC North standings.
Yeah, I think, like, that's why you were a Ravens fan. I was a Ravens fan this weekend. I want them to beat Pittsburgh, and I want them to win the division, because I think that I want to stay as far away from the Ravens as possible. And if it means the difference between playing the Steelers or the Ravens, I want to play the Steelers. I want to play the Chargers. I want to play the Broncos. I want to be as far away from the Ravens unless I absolutely have to play them next to the Chiefs.
See, I think I would sit my stars Christmas Day, and the NFL would be ticked off about this.
Furious.
Because Netflix spent, what, $1 billion to have a couple of Christmas games on Netflix? So they would be ticked off. And, in fact, it wouldn't shock me if the NFL didn't allow it, if you want to go, like, completely tinfoil
the
conspiracy
Popovich
theorist. Yeah.
NBC that one year.
But to me it makes sense on two fronts to sit your stars on Christmas Day. One, like, you don't want your dudes playing three games in 11 days whenever you're pretty much, like, you're guaranteed to play a home game in the wild card round. The only thing that's going to change is your opponent. So, like, I don't want C.J. Stroud out there after the injuries we've seen, especially behind, if you have, like, this, you know, if your offensive line's missing some pieces from your starting five. I don't want Nico Collins out there. I don't want my best defensive players out there. What I would do if I'm D'Amico, and D'Amico, I don't think we'll ever do this because it's not his mentality, which, you know, certainly up for debate. I would sit my critical players that I cannot lose, and then I'd probably play them in the first half against Tennessee to keep them fresh, to try to build some sort of rhythm, and then I would sit them for the second half of Tennessee. So if I'm D'Amico and I'm planning it out, I'm sitting my starters against my stars. You can't sit all your starters. I'm sitting my stars against Baltimore. C.J. Stroud, Derek Stingley, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, all the big names. I'm playing them in the first half against Tennessee, trying to build some momentum, and I'm more interested in the offensive side of things there than the defense. I don't really need the defense out there. I know what my defense is. I'm not so sure about my offense. That would be my plan because it helps you in two fronts. One, it keeps you healthier, and secondly, it increases the chances that you avoid the matchup you don't want in the wild card round.
Not only that, but Jeremy, take it even one more step because I agree with everything that you said, and I think that you think about it, for anybody that fights either one of us on that those points, do you have any chance at all of winning a game without C.J. Stroud? The answer is no. And if you, now with the receiver room the way it's at, do you have any chance of beating anybody without Nico Collins? The answer is no in my mind.
Right.
And so that's where you have to be hyper careful. Same thing with Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon has been your bell cow on multiple fronts offensively all season long. Do you think Dare is going to come in and be the answer if
no
he gets
chance.
Hurt? No chance. So that's where you have to be smart in terms of your decision making. And the other thing that I was going to add is, and Josh Allen finally said what we've talked about, which is the fact that at this point in the year, if you're going to play a team that there's a better-than-average chance you're going to play, you are as vanilla as possible. Because if you put it on tape before, run it again. Because they already have that tape. They know the formation. They expect it. But if you've got new wrinkles that you've only been using in practice and new things that you wanted to implement, don't do it now. Just wait till the playoffs.
Because what is the goal right now for the Texans? The goal to me is to give them the best chance to make a deep run in the playoffs. And, like, yeah, we don't really expect the Texans to do that. Like, people were talking to me on Twitter today being like, well, you shouldn't rest your starters. The Texans have zero chance anyways. As a coach, you're not operating
no.
that way. As a coach, you're operating like we're going to do whatever we can to put ourselves in the best position to achieve the ultimate result. And we know the ultimate result is a Super Bowl. Well, again, we don't think that the Texans are doing that, but that is how the coaches have to operate. And if you're operating that way, I think the way that you can increase your chances of having a deep run is you play it safe against Baltimore because you can stay healthy, and then secondly, you increase the chances of the Ravens winning the AFC North. Because the Steelers have some games here.
The final two.
They play the Chiefs on Christmas Day, and then their final game of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers is the Bengals.
Yep.
I mean, at home, and yeah, Cincinnati hasn't been great, but that's an offense
they
that
still
can
have
get
an
you.
Outside chance,
and they're tied. Like they're also tied. Like Baltimore is not chasing. So if Pittsburgh loses to Kansas City, maybe that's what the game that you need to watch that ultimately makes your decision. Although it's tough to do because they kick off that day in front of you,
right.
And you have the game planning and all of that. But if Pittsburgh loses to Kansas City, I think that your decision should be, okay, let's help Baltimore win the AFC North.
Yep.
That way we can avoid them. And then at the same time, we're not risking C.J. Stroud with 3 games in 11 days. We're not risking Will Anderson with 3 games in 11 days. And then if you want to use that Tennessee game as like your get-right game or as your tune-up game, do it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the main thing that you have to take away from is to have a puncher's chance. You got to have your two fists in really good shape. You take away both hands if you lose any of the guys we mentioned. And yes, the significance is even greater with the C.J. Stroud. But if you take away Nico or Joe or Hunter and Will Anderson type guys, from an offensive or defensive perspective, you are so far behind the eight ball that you probably have already dug yourself a huge hole to try and even have a chance to have a puncher's chance. So you want Baltimore to win the division. You want to give your chance because at the very end of the day, too, regardless of whether you care about outside perceptions or not, and most will say they don't. We know that some do. But at the end of the day, if you at least get to where you got to last year after all you've endured, the injuries you've had to get over, and everything that you've taken on, and you get to the divisional round again and then you lose, no one's going to have a problem with it. But if you get beaten or you're one and done and that you kind of add fuel to the fire that you were fool's gold, now you're going to have an off season where it's not going to go away and it's just going to keep beating you over the head and it's probably going to keep people sleepless at night. I think that's the way to look at it.
I think Baltimore's the big like wrench in this though, because if like Baltimore was on the same level, in my opinion, of Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Broncos, I don't think I would have the same viewpoint because it wouldn't bother me
about
as much
guys?
About who you play in the wild card round.
Oh.
Because if Baltimore was equal with Pittsburgh, in my mind, if Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Broncos, I'm probably playing guys on Christmas and then not playing anybody in Week 18. But because Baltimore is on a different level, in my opinion, than the other three teams we're talking about, I don't care as much about my seed. Because a lot of people, I guess the counterpoint here would be, well, you still have a chance for the 3 seed, you should go play for the 3 seed. I don't want the 3 seed If I'm playing Baltimore, though,
right?
I don't want, and also
you want the path of least resistance if you can set it up.
And if you also win in the wild card round, would you? Who do you think the Texans have a better chance of beating? And you can answer this too: Kansas City or Baltimore? Who do the Texans have a better chance of going on the road and winning? Is it at Kansas City or is it at Baltimore? It's at Kansas City.
I was going to say, so it's like, the team you just played.
Because so if you have a better chance of beating Kansas City than beating Baltimore, it also makes more sense to be the 4 seed. Because if you're the 3 seed, you're not playing Kansas City.
You want
the
path
round.
Of least resistance, and you want the easiest way to get to at least where you were the year before. So therefore, from that standpoint alone, the last thing you want to do is play Kansas City and Baltimore if you can prevent it.
Yeah.
But at this point, with where you are and what your record is, you also have to be really realistic in the fact that yes, in the opening round, you'd like to play the Chargers, the Steelers, or the Broncos.
Yeah.
But the last thing you want to do is set yourself up to play Baltimore in the first round and then play Kansas City in the divisional round.
Yeah, so I think that Baltimore's their worst matchup. And it's funny to say that because Baltimore might be the 5 seed, but I think they're the worst matchup for the Texans. Texter, am I dumb to think that this year's Texans match up well against Baltimore? I get they're a better team, but Lamar struggles in the playoffs, and we have a deep defensive line that can halt their run game any given week. I think it's the worst matchup.
I think it's the worst matchup, and I think it's not even close. You showed yesterday with all the mistakes that you made, you were in a one-score game with the Chiefs, and you had opportunities to really make that game close. Whereas with the Ravens, they have a guy that has run roughshod over you when he was with Tennessee and Derrick Henry. So their running game is even stronger than it's been in the past with a running quarterback that has more receivers. And you could say on the flip side, well, they have a tough time guarding the pass on defense. They sure do, but your offensive line sucks, and you just lost your second-best receiver.
Yeah.
You don't have the time to get away to capitalize on their pass defense as much as they could capitalize on all their strengths against you.
So am I crazy for thinking that the Texans should rest on Christmas Day? Because I'm kind of talking myself through this, like, on the air. Like, I had preliminary thoughts before going on the air. But to me, it makes all the sense in the world. I'm not sure what the win is by playing your guys. Obviously, it'd be to get the 3 seed, but I don't think the 3 seed's as good as the 4 seed unless that 4 seed's playing Baltimore, the 5 seed. But if you lose, you help Baltimore get the 2 seed.
Yeah, the main focus shouldn't be seeds. It should be the matchup that cannot be good for you,
yeah.
And that's the Ravens. And I think that the league would never allow this.
The
big fly in the ointment is from, and you touched on it earlier, from a D'Amico Ryans and in that locker room perspective, they're, and the league perspective as an outside also opinion, they're never going to allow that to happen if they're healthy. And I think that D'Amico's going to go out there, and he's at least going to start all the starters, and he's going to see where they stack up against Baltimore. So I think it's a moot point from that standpoint.
Sure.
But at a certain point in the game or behind the scenes, the discussions have to take place from a coaching and organizational standpoint, because it does set you up for failure if you handle your cards the wrong way.
Netflix spent $150 million for 2 games on Netflix this season.
Did you see how many announcers are working and how many people they brought in?
So many.
It's like 11 per game, and then they put money on Beyonce to be the halftime show.
Yeah.
They are going all in.
Beyonce charges a lot of money to show up. Imagine how much money Beyonce charges to sing.
Well, that's the thing.
A lot of money.
That's the thing. Most of the Super Bowl acts, the Super Bowl acts don't get paid to do the halftime. They do it for the exposure. Netflix is, I'm pretty darn sure, is paying to get Beyonce to do halftime.
Oh, for sure.
It brings her home for the holidays.
That is true.
I mean, that's
a good point. Yeah, $150 million, to your point. The NFL will not allow the Texans to sit started. But the Texans shouldn't care about the NFL. They screwed them with the Z's. They screwed them with the Z's, so screw you to the NFL. How's this for Christmas spirit? Texter, you do realize the Texans just signed Deontay Johnson, right? Yeah, but he's not playing Christmas Day.
No.
That's another reason. There's another peripheral reason to not play your starters against Baltimore. Sit them against Baltimore, get Deontay Johnson right, and then play them for the first half against Tennessee.
Yeah,
that way you have your full collection of offensive firepower.
The Tennessee game is the dress rehearsal for Deontay Johnson. There's no doubt about it. You sit the stars that we've talked about. But on the flip side of that, I'm playing the entire offensive line, especially if this is going to be the next version of the next offensive line that might be the offensive line I go to the rest of the year. I need to make sure that Fisher's still holding up at right tackle. I need to make sure that if I'm going to make a change with Shaq at right guard, that whoever I'm going to play and consistently believe is going to be the guy gets reps with the other guys on that line, and it comes together as much continuity-wise as it can before you play a meaningful football game, because it's been musical chairs yet again.
Yeah, talk me out of this idea, because I'm all in. The NFL took away our best defensive player. Resting the starters is great payback. That's the advantage of winning the division, getting healthy before the playoffs. CJ should sit Christmas Day. Yeah, I think that everybody's on board with this.
I admire Josh Allen for saying what the league and everybody else doesn't want them to say, which is The honest answer is you're towing a very fine line about I'm not going to let you put on tape and see anything that I feel like could be a very effective play or a style for the playoffs. I hate to break it to you. I know your TV matters and your ratings matter and your sponsors matter. But at the same time, if we are truly going to give us the best chance to win in the playoffs, I'm giving you vanilla the rest of the year.
Yeah. Hopefully streaming issue isn't a deal with the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul thing. I'm a little worried about that.
But you don't have to worry about that. It'll be shown locally here on one of the local channels.
Sure?
They did it earlier in the year. It was a streaming-only game.
But it wasn't on Netflix.
But it was on Channel 26. No, but it wasn't on Netflix, but it was on Amazon or...
I hope they do that. That'd be great.
And the local audience still got the game on Fox 26.
I hope that happens. Maybe it's an NFL rule. Hopefully that's
the case. To the two teams in the game,
yeah.
I believe that it's an over the air. It has to be an over the air option.
Dustin sources. I heard CJ wants Terrell Owens as his new wide receiver, and then he put up the gif of Terrell Owens crying, saying that's my quarterback.
I mean,
it's pretty funny though. I don't condone the gif usage, but it got a laugh out of me. All right, 713-780 ESPN HRP listener line. Rockets. They beat the Raptors yesterday. How about that? One of the big takeaways you had, the Rockets win over Toronto. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
You're back with the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
Yeah, we are. We're at Nick's Place. We want you to be at Nick's Place. Come on out, join us for the ESPN 97.5 Christmas party. There we go. There we go. There we go. They really know how to make people feel special, don't they?
We just found the absolute recipe for the Ghost Pepper Challenge. Crystal Collins got roped into doing the Hot Pepper Challenge this morning.
Yeah.
But evidently the Orange Crush, forget all the milk and the bread and the other things. You just get someone an Orange Crush in the boiler room, evidently recovers quite quickly because...
Yeah, she feels... She's
yeah,
good.
She's feeling good. I don't know if her vocal cords are any good, but she's feeling good. I don't want to either. Knowing you as well as I do, I don't want to.
Yeah, there was a lot of innuendo there. How long did it hurt? How long did it hurt, though, the ghost pepper?
No, I'm not lying. About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. Yeah. Zero interest in doing that. I am a wuss. I am soft. Would you? Would you, Blinkers?
I do not want to do it.
No, I would not.
No.
She's like, you're giving her grief, but she's way tougher than both of us combined.
So the people that have done it, including people that were affiliated with our station in the past, I know did it during the lunch hour show, and at 7 o'clock that night during Glenn Davis's show was still feeling the effects and complaining about how awful they felt. No chance I want to feel that way for 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Nope.
Like, I like comfort way too much. I'm a big fan on comfort. I think comfort's underrated, actually. I mean, we should all aspire for more comfort in our lives.
If you had the choice between recliner or toilet, I'm going to take the recliner for comfort.
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
As opposed to, I'm going to be sitting there and just hoping to God it all works itself out.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
recliner with a toilet really doesn't sound hygienic, but it does sound like you.
All right, moving on to the Rockets.
Hey!
Rockets in the – by the way, we have a bunch of texters saying that it will be on CBS locally.
There you go.
So the Netflix game will be on CBS, same broadcast. You don't have to worry about getting Netflix if you're – the Netflix doesn't like me saying that. But if you're in the city, you don't have to worry about getting Netflix if you don't already have Netflix. Rockets took on the Raptors yesterday, north of the border. They won the game. Raptors gave them some trouble in the first half. Still, I thought, kind of won comfortably. Raptors made it tight late. The Rockets, the last couple of minutes, didn't really take care of the basketball. But they were up like 7-8 points with like a minute and a half left to play. And then the Raptors cut it to 4. What'd you think of the win for the Rockets in Toronto?
Good win. Tough place for them to play in the past. A lot of guys had a lot of extracurriculars going on to where Toronto's been a tough place to win.
In Toronto?
Oh, my goodness.
Really? I didn't know that about Toronto.
Yes. Yes. Huh. Yes, if it's chilly and the fine arts are very close by and they're inside, there's a lot of people that take part in the fine arts.
Did not know that.
Yes, and I can tell you stories. But at the same time, good win no matter who you play against. But more so, it just shows you the depth of this team. Because the biggest takeaway for me, aside from the fact that Dylan Brooks played really, really well and gave you a very above what I expect out of Dylan Brooks' performance, is you got contributions from the bench. The bench played really well. A guy that I'm extremely high on that you and I have discussed over and over again. But Cam Whitmore looks like, from a maturity standpoint, he just took what he was given. He was given an opportunity. He was given some minutes. He took advantage of that. And Jayshon Tate, same way. As a professional that's being paid, Jayshon Tate took the advantage, took advantage of the fact that I got time where I haven't been giving time, and I made the little things happen. I made hustle plays. I played defense. I got rebounds. The biggest takeaway from a negative for me was exactly what you mentioned towards the end there. The fact that you had an 8 or 9 point lead with less than 3 minutes and 2 minutes to play, and you let it squander to the point where you were in a one possession game with, you know, 16 seconds left. That was disturbing. Other than that, so many positives to take away from the depth, the talent, the ability, and guys that you needed to see mature, kind of take a step from a maturity standpoint.
Yeah. I've not been too high on Cam Whitmore. I think he's not really a team player. I think that Ime's trying to coach him into being a team player. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big reason why he got sent down to RGV.
It is.
And I don't know if you heard it on the broadcast, but I think it was Ryan Hollins that even said it. Maybe it was Ackerman, but I think it was Hollins. Hollins said that they sent him down so he can help the team win without the ball in his hands. And if the commentators know that, it's pretty clear what the message is for Cam Whitmore.
Well, the commentators are willing to say that, because normally, you know this as well as anybody, too. We know exactly why. You're just not supposed to say it publicly.
Yep.
But it doesn't take a rocket scientist, no pun intended, but to figure out that Cam has a ton of ability, and his physical attributes and his basketball attributes, shooting the ball for a guy his size and everything, he has all the tools.
Yep.
But he has a refusal to play defense. And he has an inability to play an offensive structure that doesn't involve him being the centerpiece.
Yeah, when he gets the ball, he's shooting. Mm-hmm. He's not giving up the ball. As soon as you give him the ball, he's going to be taking that shot. So he's got to be able to get out of that. Hopefully yesterday is a sign of that. I wouldn't mind a 5-6 game run, though, for Cam Whitmore, of him getting Reed Shepard's minutes. Like, Reed Shepard hasn't really done a whole lot his rookie year.
Well, he made a shot yesterday.
Sure. So
that's
progress, about it.
Right? But, I mean, standing on the court next to him this year, I looked at him and I thought, oh, my God, he has the body of a freshman in high school.
Did you tower over Reed Shepard?
I didn't tower over him, but I was disappointed in the fact that when they said he's got some filling out to do, maturity, got to get stronger, I looked at him and I thought, oh, my goodness, he is literally a child amongst men, and that was worrisome to me. I know he can shoot. I know that he can handle the ball. I know he has ability, but I know now, based on what he's done with the minutes he's gotten, that he's probably a year away from being a contributor on a regular basis. So if Cam gets his minutes for a couple of games, but Cam continues to give you 8-10 points off the bench, but also can get some rebounds and pass the ball a little bit, I'm good with developing Cam, because I think Cam is a guy that can find some minutes in meaningful games for you later in the year.
Yeah, let's see what it looks like for five games. Let's see if he learned from RGV. My biggest takeaway of the game, though, is that the Rockets should not have let Jamal Shedd leave down. Go Cougs. Remember what they did with that draft pick?
Oh, I do.
They traded it for Adrian Griffin's boy, who has since retired from the NBA. That was a miss.
And we didn't watch the draft together, but at the same time, as that pick got closer and closer, I kept thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, if you could keep Shedd at home, and I know that there were guys in the building that watched him consistently this year that thought he'd be a really nice piece to back up Van Vliet and whoever else. And when they traded that away, I was so disappointed in the fact that I think they missed. And I'm glad he's playing his tail off, because he's had to really fight and scratch to get any minutes. Now that he's got the minutes, he has been taking full advantage. I think that one game they were looking for energy, his first chance to get minutes. And they put him in like late third into the fourth of a game that they were significantly behind. And by the time he was off the court, it was a single-digit game, and he had busted his tail. And I'm like, this is exactly what every team in the league should want to have on their bench.
Rockets traded pick 43 for Adrian Griffin. Jamal Shedd went 45. And he flirted with a triple-double yesterday, by the way. 11 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds.
Yeah, that's just...
I mean, 4 rebounds away. Maybe flirting is too strong a word.
You know,
filled out the stat sheet.
The one thing that I was thinking about watching that last night, too, was these guys had to... I mean, I know that you know this, that a lot of the Rockets came over to watch some of the meaningful games at Fertitta Center last year to see University of Houston play. But they had to play pickup with him at some point to
probably.
Say, this kid can play. We could use him.
Emay would have loved him.
Oh, my goodness.
Emay
because of the
loved
defense
him. Yep.
And the spark and the hard-nosed way he plays the game. There's no doubt he's Emay's type of player.
Yeah, it makes me sad. They let him leave. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Mailbag Monday with the Bees. What's your question for us? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, look, it's the holidays. We know that whether you're avoiding annoying relatives or you've just eaten too much and you love watching sports on TV, there is a ton of sports going on over the holidays. And this week, you need to take full advantage, even if they're not yours. Teams that are playing, what's more annoying? Not having a stake in a game because you don't care for either team and not being able to do anything about it, or having to spend way too much time with that aunt and uncle that just can't do anything but rub you the wrong way? You can change how you view games over the holidays by putting a little money on it and having a little bit more at stake. That's why I always encourage you to go to mybookie.ag. It's the place you want to be to put money on games. They've been in business for over a decade. They take care of you in a variety of ways, always giving you opportunities with promotions and things that are going on for you to cash in on, and the fact that you can make the most uninteresting game more interesting, whether it is football this week, or if it's basketball this week, or it's hockey, or any of the other sports going on, you can probably bet on it at mybookie.ag. But always use our promo code BET975. That's what opens the door and gets you the deals that I'm always talking about. Because they have all the different ways when you use mybookie.ag and our promo code. Right now, a 50% sign-up bonus. You put 100 in, they'll put an extra 50 on it. Instantly, 150 in your account. More games you can bet on, more chances you can win. Same thing with their loyalty program. Once you're signed up and you use our promo code and you get in, every time you place a bet, they keep track of it. And the more you play, the more you're going to cash in with higher tiers and better opportunities to take advantage of better marketing things that are going on. Check them out today. Go to mybookie.ag. Use our promo code BET975. Do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag and use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Killer Bees at Nick's Place. Get on out here. 2713 Rocky Ridge off Westheimer. Total Arlington just walked in.
I see. Yeah, Total Arlington.
Everybody say
hi to
Total Arlington.
Tis the season to celebrate. And Total Arlington signed Chuck Peterson, my favorite player of all time, for 2 years.
He's wearing a Total Arlington
hat.
That's
why he wore it, because they got Jock. Rangers are going to win the division. They got Jock Peterson.
Yeah, everybody throw eggs at Total Arlington.
Do the Jock Peterson.
Tall guy with a smile on his face. All right, what is your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN. Question for the Bees, 713-780-3776. Granado was complaining earlier today, Branham, that you complain too much. What say you? He probably complains more than he thinks, and he's literally complaining about me complaining. What does that say? He's complaining about me complaining.
What say you? Yeah, I agree with him. That must be true.
He's complaining about me complaining. Now, Granado is my hero, so I wish he would think highly, a little bit more highly than he
just does. Throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Blankers, why did the NFL overstep the NBA, which was must-watch Christmas Day TV at one time not too long ago?
Because if you're the king, you can do whatever you want. And they played nice for a whole lot of years, and then they realized, why do we have to cater to anybody in any other league? We'll do whatever we want, whenever we want, and guess what? We'll have a bigger audience than whoever's competing with us.
The NFL doesn't care about any other sport, quite frankly. Like, yes, this is another example of that with the NBA and overstepping, I guess. But they also have no care at all about, like, college football. Like, they're playing NFL games on Saturday during the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL is going to do whatever is best for the NFL. And the NFL doesn't have to worry about it, to your point, because the NFL is going to be the highest viewed sport that exists in America.
Now, to their credit, because they didn't have to do this, forever, they were overly conscious of what else was going on, and respectful is the word I will use. They were respectful. And I think a lot of it had to do with the relationships the commissioners had, to where they were respectful of, oh, Christmas Day is always the NBA's day. We'll just be respectful and let them have that. Just like the NBA tries not to play on Super Bowl, which is wise from the NBA's perspective, because no one's going to watch it their games anyway. But I think at a certain point they just went, wait a minute. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, as good as our ratings are, we could have phenomenal ratings on Christmas Day.
other sports have to worry about the NFL. The NFL doesn't have to worry about other sports.
No other sport.
Like, no one cares about golf. But even the PGA adjusted their schedule to try to avoid the NFL season. Like, their FedEx playoff and how deep they go into the fall, they totally readjusted that because of the NFL.
And NBC luckily at least had one of the two NFL games, and it involved the Texans last week. Because when the minute that they threw to the whatever challenge with Tiger and Charlie, everybody flipped the channel to the Ravens and the Steelers.
Yeah.
They got crushed.
That was kind of fun watching Tiger and Charlie, though.
I mean, Charlie getting a hole-in-one is pretty special.
Yeah, I couldn't find it on TV for a second, but what I eventually did. It's too bad that they lost in the playoffs. I'm worried that Charlie doesn't have the clutch gene. I'm kidding.
The interview, boy, he sounds so much like his dad.
Yeah, he does. I hope he's going to be good. I hope he's going to be good. That would be so good if he's good. 1-970-713-780-ESPN. What is your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Texter wants to know, how do you like your eggs? In my belly.
Sunny side up or sunny side up or scrambled.
You like them runny?
No. You gotta sunny side up, but at least cooked enough so that it doesn't. What do they call that?
Like over medium?
Over medium.
Or over well, which is kind of just fried.
Over medium is fine.
You want yours what? Sorry?
I thought you said caramelized. I was like, what?
Does that just mean organic? Is that a fancy word for organic? What does unfertilized mean? Do you have a chicken coop? Do you raise your own? My wife will get the organic eggs, though.
Like, I'm giving Lisa does, too.
She'll get the organic. I like mine over medium to over well. I don't like the runniness either.
Right.
Which maybe makes me soft. I don't know.
No, I'm not a big fan of the yolk, to be honest.
The Branham kid likes his over. He likes his sunny side up, and he likes to dip his toast in the runniness.
Now, that was big in the Midwest. That was a staple, and my parents did it all the time. Dunk the toast in the yolk. I'm not a yolk guy.
I kind of love eggs, though. Like, I'm a big egg guy.
I do, too.
And it's simple. Just a little butter, some salt, into the game. Like, that's it. That's all I need. It's fantastic.
No, I can eat eggs for dinner.
Remember when they used to think that eggs were unhealthy? Like, ruins your cholesterol and
stuff?
Honestly,
the yolk is the biggest thing for the fat and the cholesterol.
Yeah, but I think it's good. Laughing emoji, how do you like your eggs? We just get the questions and we ask the questions. Yeah, you give us the questions. We just answer whatever you ask us. 713-780-3776, your question for the Bees. Which owner in Houston is more likely to sell their team? I won't point out that he misspelled there. I won't say that, but he misspelled there.
So many people on text message that are still calling him Tank Dale, but we won't point that out either.
Unfertilized.
Of the three, I think it would be Crane.
To sell?
Yep. Tillman's a lifelong Houstonian that said he's wanted the Rockets forever. Now he wants to keep it as a family heirloom for as long as he can. I think the same thing with the McNairs and the fact that now Cal has brought Hannah in to finally figure some stuff out. They are lifers. I think from a Crane perspective, he's made some bad moves. I think he's so driven about the financials and everything like that too.
Yeah.
But I could see him at a certain point just going, I'm out.
I'm not sure Cal knows how to sell the team. So that kind of rules him out.
That's probably true.
Never quit.
There you go. And he, not only does he not know how, but he's reluctant not to. Look at that kind of attitude.
Never quitting.
Cal's not selling the Texans. Hannah wouldn't let him either. Now, maybe you could lose it in the divorce. I should have said that.
Ouch.
I'm with you on Tillman. Like, Tillman, I think Tillman understands the financial impact of owning a team so much that he understands it's a good deal to just let that kind of grow. There's also some rumors that he would be interested in the Saints if the Bensons ever sell, which he was interested in the Commanders, I believe,
too. He was. Yes, he was.
Which, I mean, it's smart business. Own an NFL team and great return on your investment. Why wouldn't you be interested in that if you had lots of money? Crane.
That's why you told him to buy a WNBA team, right? Because of the financial return.
I have no idea what kind of business deal that looks like.
It's not great.
I mean, if you get it for very, very cheap, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
And it is growing. It is growing.
Oh, no, it is right now, yeah. But even if it's growing, I don't know the profit margin.
I just don't know how cheap he could get the team.
Yeah, the profits aren't going to be close to what he's getting.
Now, you do have a lot of things already in your favor to own a WNBA team. Like, you already kind of rent the building, right? You already have the TV network. So you have
stuff. Own the building now.
Does he own it?
Yeah, at a certain point, it goes from the sport. It went from the sport. I think it was 20 years, and it went from the Sports Authority to the whoever owned the basketball team.
So there are some benefits of that because he already owns a lot of the infrastructure of what it would take.
The building,
I guess it would depend on the price to purchase. I would go Crane too. Now I do know that Crane has a son that works with the organization, so like that kind of makes me hesitant to say Crane, but I would still say Crane over Tillman or Cowell.
I may be wrong. I've heard he's got two sons, I believe.
One
wants no part of the baseball team, and the other one was kind of forced into, or like they were forcing him into positions to find out where he fits. So I don't know if he'd want to do it long term.
See, I thought he did. I thought it was one of the reasons they got rid of Reed.
I mean, that's actually part of why Tillman did it, because Patrick wants to, you know, do. At first, he was going to run the business side. Now he's being groomed as a general manager.
Not bad. Not a bad gig if you can get it. Has Joe George paid his bets? Not mine.
Mine either, and I thought about it the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like, man, that hat. We were in the mall. I was like, oh, that hat would be great. Oh, that's right. Joe owes me a hat.
Yeah, I never think of Joe George. If you're the Astros with Crochet leaving the White Sox, would you see if you can make an offer of Fromber and something for Luis Robert?
I better get more than that for Fromber. So the answer is no. I mean, if you're interested in Luis Robert in your outfield, that would be awesome. I don't think you could put together a package and you have the kind of prospects to go get him. But I'm not trading Fromber for Luis Robert in a prospect.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
And plus, they're rebuilding. They don't want Fromber.
Yeah, they don't want Fromber in the last year of his deal.
If anything, they would turn around and try and send him somewhere else.
They would want to trade Robert for prospects. Robert's also weird because his production does not equal his talent. Like, his numbers have been pretty poor for the course of his career.
We talk about Dalton Schultz with a whole lot of quit in him. Luis Robert, once they became a rebuilding team and sucked, he put a whole lot less effort in it. He was dropping fly balls. He was just checked out.
I do think that if he went to a contender, though, he would be massive.
Oh, he could be a really, really good player.
And I think that's why he's hard to trade, is because no team is going to trade the package that the White Sox won for the talent for the production that he's put up. I think that's why he's still a White Sox. Someone said hard scrambled eggs with cheese with picante sauce. Yeah, I'll eat that, too. That sounds good. Give me a little salt on that. How far will the Rockets go in the playoffs this year?
If they get into a full playoff series, they would be in one and done territory.
Okay. I think they can get to the Western Conference semis. I think they're a dark horse for the Western Conference finals. But I'll say semis. I'll go Western Conference semis for the Rockets. Keith from LA, now the Tank has had a few injuries. Do you think the Texans renew his contract when it's time, or is it bye bye Tank?
I think the only stumbling block at all is gonna be just the significance of this injury and his ability to recover from it, because some people were calling it catastrophic and career-changing and altering. As long as it's not that, Tank Dell hasn't given you any reason to think that he can't play football, and that when we throw in what he means in the locker room and what kind of guy he's been, and especially if CJ's his best friend, I think that they want Tank Dell back.
This one's going to – we need to see how he returns, because
– not at wide receiver one money.
No. I wasn't concerned about Tank whenever he broke the fibula, because I broke my fibula and I came back to peak form because I'm a peak athlete. But, I mean, it's an on-weight-bearing bone. Like, I wasn't worried about Tank recovering from that. This is a lot different. And, like, in the NFL, you win the margins. Like, the margin of error is so small. It's razor thin between being good and being bad. And you're talking about a guy with a dislocated knee, torn ACL, and then other damage. Like, there's been some innuendo that maybe it's like the MCL, the ACL. What's the other one? The PCL. So, like, if all of that stuff is torn, that makes me very nervous about the future of Tank Dell. And then on top of that, when does he return? Like, next year will be his third year in the NFL. He was a third-round draft pick, so he's on a four-year contract. So if he misses most or if all of next season, he's got just 1 year left to earn that second contract with the Houston Texans. And then also, he's been injured in the first 2 years. So, like, how much money are you willing to commit
to a guy who's been hurt both years? Stay-at-home, hometown discount, knowing all those things, too.
We don't know that. I mean,
right, we don't know what we don't know, but at the same time, that's also a possibility, because we've seen crazy – look at the Steve Francis here in basketball. If you're friends with the best player on the team, there's a chance that they're going to do a little extra to make sure you stay.
I mean
– he's not – look, the problem from the negative side is you've seen the difference in John Mechie. From John Mechie coming in from Alabama to what John Mechie's been since. And I understand that there was a health problem involved, too. It's a different kind of health than what Tank's going through. But it as a receiver, when you're predicated on just speed and quickness and all the things, you can take into consideration and say John Mechie will never be the same player as he was at Alabama, just like there's a good chance Tank Dell may never be the player that he was before the injury.
I'm nervous. I wouldn't bet against Tank, but I am nervous. Like, this is significant. I mean, this is a major injury for a guy who relies on his quickness.
Yeah.
And he's been hurt in the first 2 years of his NFL season. Like, To me, it does hurt his market value. I think it will hurt his market value. But maybe to your point, that brings him back into the Texas conversation. Hopefully he recovers well. Yeah, tough injury. But, yeah, you have to take into account that Tank Dell has been injured and lost for the season in his first two years of his NFL career. You'd be foolish not to. All right, 713-780-ESPN. College football playoffs, round one in the books. What do you believe after round one of the college football playoffs? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The winners, the losers, and all the best college football moments this weekend.
At the buzzer! Clemson wins the ACC!
Did you see it?
Touchdown! Georgia SEC champions!
Can you feel it? Do you believe now?
You believe now?
Of all the
Hold on. Do you believe now?
With the Killer Bees.
Believe now after this college football weekend. We saw four playoff games in the first ever 12-team college football playoff. What do you believe? 713-780-3776. Blankers?
I believe that program director Donna is going to lose her mind based on how the college football playoff has gone so far, based on the earful I caught off air. I believe more than ever now that once they determine the 12 teams that get in, the reseeding is an absolute necessity because of the fact that whether you believe the matchups or not, I think that the top four teams in the country deserve the bye more than – it's one thing to get in if you're Boise or if you're Arizona State or teams like that. But, man, oh, man, to give them a bye versus some of the talented teams that are playing, for me, I just feel like you should treat it like the NCAA tournament. They got their berth in by doing what they did and the wins that they achieved. But then you reseed based on more of the rankings than you do just the fact that because you won that conference championship.
Yeah, so instead of it really wouldn't be the reseed. It would just be more of a, we're not going to give you an automatic bye if you're a conference champ.
Right.
So just you eliminate that caveat and just seed them 1 through 12.
That's what I want to do.
I was very against that at the start of the year. I liked what they did. But after seeing the bracket and how it's all played out, I'm willing to concede that I was wrong there. I would agree with you. I think that they should do just a 1 through 12, seed it how you seed it. And not worry about the conference. Like, and I'm with you. Like, if you win the conference, that gets you a seat at the table. That gets you into the dance. Now go prove it. I'm okay with that. I really am. My first one is that the ACC, I believe the ACC did not deserve two teams. I was on this on Selection Saturday or whatever day they did it. There is no reason the ACC should have had two teams in. Clemson beating SMU, that should have eliminated SMU from the college football playoff. And I love SMU's story. But Clemson lost early in the year to Georgia. Not only lost, they got hammered early in the year by Georgia. They lost a home game to South Carolina. How are you telling me that conference, with Clemson as its champion, deserves a second bid over Alabama out of the SEC, over BYU, who beat SMU? So really what the first round of the college football playoff did for me was reaffirm my take that the ACC should not have had two teams in the college football playoff.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And in looking at it, and you look at the way the games played out, the way the teams performed, look, I think there's a lot of scrutiny that a lot of these teams can face. And I think that, you know, my number two was going to be, and this falls right into it, is the fact that this is the perfect scenario in the perfect year for the NCAA, no matter what, when they want to restructure the way they're doing this, to add more teams. Because all we keep hearing about is Miami and Alabama and the last teams again, and it's always probably going to be that way. But there is more parity this year than there's been in so many years, in the fact that the NCAA is going to review a whole bunch of stuff and probably make some different changes and adjustments, like the seeds and the buys. I think they're also probably going to push for 16 instead of 12.
I'm still not sure about the parity thing, though. I don't know. Maybe there's only two teams.
Now, the injuries are playing a big, big factor, too, because I think with Stockton at quarterback in terms of back, as good as Georgia's defense is, I can't believe that they can't throw the football. And I think that they're going to have to at a certain point, but I believe that they have the best defense in the country.
I'm down with the 16 teams, too. Why not? Like, more college football with the top 16 teams in the country? Yes, please. That sounds great. Brian, what do you believe?
I think we're getting the opposite of what we got in the opening round, in which all four favorite teams won easily, covered the spread, and made it really look like a cakewalk. I think we're getting the lower seeds winning three out of the four games this upcoming, well, not this upcoming weekend, but New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I think Notre Dame beats Georgia. You guys were just talking about it. I don't trust the Georgia offense right now. I'm picking Penn State over Boise State, and I think it's a coin flip between the other two matchups, Texas and upsetting Arizona. Well, not upsetting, but being the lower seed, and then Ohio State upsetting Oregon. It was just a three-point game in Eugene earlier in the season. I think we're getting three of the four lower seeds going through to the Final Four.
I kind of like it, BMAC, and it's also to the point that I think that Penn State, no matter how much I haven't been a supporter of the anything other than Oregon and Ohio State in the Big Ten, I think Penn State is overall more talented than Boise. I think there's a legit chance that comes true, and I think that's just kind of a product of what we were already talking about. I love the fact that we can get more football, and I love the football we've had. I was extremely disappointed with last weekend's games. And I hope we get better games this weekend. I love Oregon, Ohio State.
See, I think a big thing that would fix, I don't want to say fix, because I don't think there's anything wrong with it per se, but I think one of the things that would lead to more competitive first-round games would be the seed 1 through 12 without the conference caveats of winning the conference championship. I think Boise State has the best player in that game, though.
Oh, they do.
I'm really rooting for Boise State.
He's really good.
Really rooting for Boise State. What else do you believe, Blankers?
I believe when looking at it, I think Tennessee was grossly overrated, too. I think that we talk about the greatness of the SEC and all those different things. Tennessee, I don't care about the weather. You can miss me with all of that. The Tennessee, to me, was embarrassing to watch offense. I just think that they were a less than, and I think that they capitalized on their, catching some good wins. But I was so grossly unimpressed with Tennessee.
I have a buddy named Guy who we were arguing with each other about who could all win the national championship, and I left Tennessee off of my list. And he's like, "Oh no, you gotta put Tennessee." He's a big SEC guy because he has a polo. But yeah, I mean, it proved that right too.
No doubt.
Tennessee was, to my mind, never a team that could win the national championship, and they got hammered, absolutely hammered by Ohio State. My final, I believe. All college football playoff games should be on campus except for the final. Electric seeing these college football games on campus, seeing it in South Bend, seeing it at Penn State. Put all of these games on campus with the exception of a neutral site championship game. All the bowl games. Who cares about the Rose Bowl? Who cares about the Fiesta Bowl, the Cotton Bowl? Who cares? I don't care about the tradition of those bowls. Couldn't care less. I want college football playoff games on campus. Give me that. I love it.
It's the season of giving our wish lists and doing all those kind of things, and you are right to wish. The finances, they're never going away from that, and those bowl games and all that money from the Capital Ones and whoever's sponsoring all the different big bowl games. I could care less about the Toilet Bowl and the Weed Eater whatever bowls, but those bigger bowl games are always going to play a significant role just simply because of the finances.
Yeah, that is true. All right, what's your last one, Brian?
And I actually, that was going to be one of my takes. I wasn't going to go as far as you, because I was going to go an extra round, then let the Final Four in the national title game be played on the neutral sites. I think that's more achievable, because like Joel said, they're not going to give up all of that bowl money.
That's a compromise there.
Yeah,
maybe that's a compromise.
I can see that.
There's definitely a compromise there. But my final one is kind of extending upon what I said in the last one. I think Notre Dame, on their side of the bracket, is the best of those four teams. They're going to play for a national title. Now, what happens, especially if they run into an SEC team, who knows, because we know how that's gone for them in the past. But that defense has been amazing. Obviously, Riley Leonard has been done enough. Not a great passer, but runs the ball pretty well. And their running game overall is great. I think Notre Dame plays for a national title.
The reason why I don't think they do, Brian, is exactly what you touched on. I just think Riley Leonard, he can run. I think that he can manage the game. I just don't think he can pass. And I think that Notre Dame's in a similar boat to Georgia in the fact that their defenses are super talented and really, really good. I just question either team's ability to pass the ball when they need to.
So you have four teams in that quarterfinal, right? Notre Dame will play Georgia, and then the winner of that game gets Penn State, Boise State.
Correct.
If that was group play and like pool play, like the World Cup plays, right, where you play everybody in that group, Notre Dame would go 0-3.
I think Georgia would still find a way to run the table.
Maybe. But, like, Notre Dame's like side of this, Notre Dame would lose to Georgia. They would lose to Boise. They would lose to Penn State. Notre Dame's going to lose to Georgia by 20 with a backup quarterback.
I don't think that they would lose to Penn State, and I don't think that they would lose to Boise.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Yeah,
I'm in the minority here because Brian thinks
Georgia's
they would win.
Georgia's going to beat them by 20?
20.
Oh.
20.
I think
they're
going to
run them
here.
Off the field at the Sugar Bowl. Yeah, Notre Dame.
I think Georgia's going to win fairly handily. I don't know about 20.
They're going to win by 20. They barely beat Indiana.
I think the best part for Georgia.
Barely. 10-point game. Barely.
It was garbage.
Barely.
You know it.
Barely beat Indiana. They barely beat a basketball school.
The best part about that game is it's
at home.
The two less than quarterbacks. All you got to do is play better than the guy on the other side, and it ain't going to be hard.
Notre Dame is going to see athletes they have not seen all year. Well, maybe they saw them in week one against A&M.
Georgia's defense is so good.
They're not going to move the ball. Georgia's going to kill the Irish. They're not going to be the fighting Irish. They're going to be the quitting Irish when Georgia has their way with them on New Year's Day.
You think Beck plays again?
I don't know.
Not in this postseason.
I don't know.
Not in this postseason? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think he could sit this one out, and I think that I could see him actually giving it a go in the semis.
Yeah, Joe wasn't saying that it was career-ending.
Right.
Yeah. Just answering the question.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, hanging out at Nick's Place. Come hang out with us, 2713 Rocky Ridge off of Westheimer. The Astros announced Christian Walker today to the Houston media. A couple of reasons I feel better about the Christian Walker signing today. I liked it then, but I feel even better about it now. Dana Brown also said they might be interested in a couple of more pieces, too. What were those pieces? And what was the best and worst Christmas gift you've ever gotten? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.